Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Saturday night, the Trump administration released the names of all the children under the age of five who have been separated from their families. Turns out it's more than 100 kids under the age of five. Mm-hmm. A U.S. District Court judge in California ordered the list to be handed over by Saturday evening as he considers whether to extend tomorrow's deadline to reunify all the families. But government officials say they need additional time to track down dozens of parents who are no longer in custody, including 19 who have already been deported.
I would like to know what the plan was there. So you take a one-year-old, you put them somewhere, and then you deport the parent they came with. So administration, what's the what are you going to do with that kid? We know the administration doesn't want that kid in the country. What are you thinking? Like, what's the long game here?
From what I understand, too, a lot of these kids under the age of five actually appeared before judges. And
by themselves, though.
By themselves.
Yes.
And they were climbing up on tables and, yeah.
Where's that circus music when you need it?
With us to explain what's going on and whether the administration has a prayer of reaching tomorrow's deadline is Anna Acosta. She's a law professor at William Mitchell. Anna, thank you for joining Jordana and me today.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Has the judge granted the administration additional time for the reunification process?
So as of right now, the judge has not granted an extension. Kind of what's going to happen next, there's supposed to be another hearing scheduled for tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, and the parties are supposed to give an update as to how far they've come with reunifying parents and kids. So we'll probably know more tomorrow.
Well, clearly it looks like the deadline's not going to be met, though. But is this sort of a false deadline? Because what is this judge going to do, put the whole administration in a timeout?
Yeah, I mean, that ultimately is the problem, that the government kind of holds all the cards as to whether or not and how quickly the parents will be unified with their kids. So, yeah, it's really anyone's guess as to what the remedies are. And kind of from what I'm seeing, there's not a whole lot that the judge can do if the government doesn't meet its deadline.
Anna, do you know the answer to what I was ranting about before we invited you on? I was curious. I don't know if you listened to me going off a little bit, but what was supposed to happen? Great. We apprehend you and then we send you back home. But your 2-year-old baby is in the custody of, the U.S. government. What was supposed to happen to these kids?
I mean, it's pretty clear from how this process has unfolded, both with the separation of the parents and the kids when they were apprehended near the border, as well as the process of trying to reunify the parents and kids, that the government really didn't have a coherent plan to keep track of parents and kids as they were moving through the system separately. Mm-hmm. There could have been a number of things that the government could have done to make sure that the parents and the kids were, that their cases were connected. When someone has a deportation proceeding initiated against them, they get even if they have any contact with our immigration system, they get something called an A number, which is very similar to a Social Security number. And if they had linked everybody's A number together when they had arrived as a family, they really should have been able to easily connect the families together. But based on what's happening here, it's clear that no coherent process was followed. And that's very troubling, to say the least.
You know, they should ask the owners of Chuck E. Cheese, because at Chuck E. Cheese, when you go in, you get a stamp and it matches the kid's stamp. And then the kid can't leave without the parents. So the Chuck E. Cheese folks seem to have this all worked out.
Let's get Chuck E. Cheese on line two.
Right.
But again, if the goal, Anna, is to create fear, uncertainty, doubt on the part of illegal immigrants coming to the United States, Didn't this sort of achieve that goal, at least partially, by creating fear among these people who are trying to get into the country that, oh, my goodness, you know, I might be separated from my kids. Maybe we better not make that 500,000, 1,500-mile trek to the U.S. border. I don't know. I mean, has it worked in a perverse way?
Well, it's really hard to say. And I think the other thing, too, that you have to keep in mind is that what the parents are facing at home that caused them to leave in the first place. So oftentimes these families are victims of horrific gang violence or other unrest in their home country. So they're really fleeing for their lives. And they're facing a really difficult dilemma. Do I stay in my home country and risk my safety and the safety of my children? Or do I roll the dice and come to the United States and then potentially have my kids taken away? And some of these parents may say, okay, my kid might be taken away, but at least my child will be alive. So this is, even though it's intended to create a deterrent effect, I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen when you think about what they're facing at home that caused them to leave in the first place.
It isn't just, in this case, it's not just for economic benefit. It's not necessarily to build a better life and enjoy the American dream. It's because they are concerned about the safety of their children, the safety of themselves, right? So it's the lesser of the two evils. Okay, let's take a chance, roll the dice, make the trip.
Absolutely.
Anna, do you think that 102, there were 102 named children on the list that Judge Dana Sabra wanted? Do you think it's only 102? Is that an accurate number?
You know, it's really hard to say. The attorneys from the ACLU did indicate that they thought the number might be higher, but the official number that we've been seeing in several news reports has been around 102, and it looks like about 54 or half of them will be reunited. But, the whole process has been very opaque. We don't really have solid numbers from the Department of Justice or the government as to exactly how many kids were separated from their parents and what the ages those kids are that need to comply with this court order. So the one for tomorrow, it's children under 5.
Before we let you go, Paul mentioned that some of these kids, I was reading about a one-year-old who arrived in front of a judge,
right,
with, I guess, a court-appointed lawyer. And the judge said he felt sheepish about asking the defendant, I'm using my radio air quotes when I say mm-hmm. that, if he understood the charges because he's one. Have you ever seen this play out in your past experience? As I know you're a former immigration lawyer, now you're a law professor at William Mitchell College.
Yes. So the thing to understand that I think it's important for your listeners to understand is that in civil immigration proceedings, when you are being ordered or going through removal proceedings, you're not entitled to a lawyer at the government's expense. You can only have a lawyer if you can pay for it or if you're represented by a nonprofit. And I have heard stories of very young kids having to represent themselves in their removal proceeding because they don't have a lawyer there with them. I have seen an immigration court here in the Twin Cities, very young children appearing with an attorney. So I remember one instance where I was in court and the little girl was so small that her feet didn't touch the floor and she was kind of swinging her legs, and it reminded me of my own daughter and kind of made my heart stop for a second. But yes, this is a reality. Kids are having to go through their immigration court proceedings on their own, and they're not entitled to a government-appointed attorney.
Anna Acosta, now a law professor at William Mitchell Law School and a former immigration attorney, thank you so much for your insight. We're grateful for your time, and we'll be calling you again.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.